You're about to hear the only advertising programme on the BBC. It's the quick acting show which dissolves instantly and goes straight into your bloodstream. And there it stays permanently. Yes, it's something to shout about. Michael Medwin, Eleanor Summerfield, Joan Sims, Fenella Fielding, Nicholas Phipps and Warren Mitchell take a light-hearted look at the advertising world. Our story starts one hot Friday in London. The sky is blue and cloudless, and the temperature's in the 80s. City gents with rolled umbrellas and bowlers stand panting in the shade of friendly parking meters. In the offices of Apsley, Addis, Cohn, Barbican, Blythe and Gideon Partners, the atmosphere is so stifling that people just sit about fanning themselves with pieces of damp blotting paper. But Michael Lightfoot doesn't give up so easily.
Janet, there must be some way of turning off the central heating.
And his secretary, Janet, she never gives up.
Michael, darling, why don't you change into something cooler like I have?
Janet, I think I'd look rather silly in a suntop and sandals.
You look silly enough already, sitting there with both feet in the goldfish bowl.
Next door, in the copy department, Adrian Beals is in conference with Maggie Tufnell from TV Commercials. He's just made a momentous decision.
Maggie, I'm going to take off my pullover.
Do you want me to leave the room?
No. No, no, it's all right. I've got two more pullovers under this one.
In this weather, good Lord, how many do you wear in the winter?
Oh, about 9 or 10. With a waistcoat in the middle as a bookmark. Well, here we go.
Thank goodness it's nearly the weekend. I can't wait to get down to my cottage and get a bit of country air.
Maggie, give us a hand. I seem to have got trapped in this pullover.
You certainly have. You should have taken the pipe out of your mouth first.
In the canteen of this dynamic advertising firm, Mavis Willis from the typing pool is giving a helping hand to a worried colleague.
Well, if you ask me, Mrs. Allardyce, that meatloaf is off. It's got a very high colour and I wouldn't fancy it at all, not to eat, that is.
Oh, it's always been that colour, Mavis, as long as I can remember. But that patch of damp is new, I will say. I could always dress it up with a bit of my mayonnaise.
That meatloaf doesn't want dressing up, it wants putting down. Why don't you take it outside and shoot it?
No, no, I couldn't. We've been together so long. Maybe I'll just render it down and shove it in the brown Windsor. Could do with a bit of body.
Well, after a few servings of that, you'll have plenty of bodies to choose from.
But let us leave the Brown Windsor. In this canteen, nearly everybody leaves the Brown Windsor. In fact, by 3:30, practically everyone had left the office. Except Adrian Beals and Maggie, who were still wrestling with a smouldering pullover.
Just look at it. 3 holes and a lot of singe marks. The wife will be furious.
Why don't you tell her it was done by a moth who liked to smoke between courses?
But the employees of this firm are very conscientious. They left 2 hours early on Friday, and to compensate for it, they arrived 2 hours late on Monday.
Whee! There it goes.
What are you doing with that toy?
Mavis, it's not a toy. It's a plastic model of a new caravan we're advertising.
Oh, I thought it came from a packet of cornflakes.
I know you'll find this hard to believe, but there are some things in life which don't come from packets of cornflakes.
Oh, yes, those vouchers for the start. Miss Lightfoot, do you mind opening the window? Because I'd like to pop out.
Mavis, we're on the 4th floor.
I know, I can count. But I wanted to look down the street to see if the others were coming. If not, I'd pop out for a coffee.
Ah, Adrian, and about time, too. This conference should have started an hour ago.
Well, I'm sorry, old boy, but I got worn out over the weekend. Hilda said if I didn't mow the lawn, I'd have to buy her a spin dryer.
I presume there's a connection.
Yes, the grass was higher than the clothesline. Anyway, I'm glad I did the job. I got rather tired of having ants in my pants.
Good. Well, perhaps we can sit down and get some ideas about how to advertise Queen of the Road caravans.
Well, I don't see how we can start without Maggie. It's not like her to be late.
Oh, I suppose she's still on the way back from that derelict cottage of hers. She'll come dashing in a minute.
They're all the same, old boy, people with country cottages. Up to the ears in mud all the weekend, eaten alive by midges, then rush back to town with armfuls of dead flowers to tell you how healthy life is.
Well, I'd sooner have it than being stuck in this office. I want to be out there, communicating with the forces of nature.
Well, communicating's one thing. On the other hand, a battle is another. Maggie's told me about that cottage of hers. It's in a terrible state.
Still, she's only had the place a couple of weeks, and it was dirt cheap, considering it's still got the original beams.
And the original plumbing, and quite a lot of the original dirt. However, this isn't getting us anywhere with the advertising of caravans.
Oh, well, all right, then give us a gen and let's start.
Well, the client wants some illustrated brochures and some photographs for TV flashes. Oh, this is the model.
How many does it sleep?
Oh, their bed's all over the place. It holds 8 altogether.
16 if they're friendly.
And what are the main features? I mean, what's the best thing to exploit when I write it up?
Well, the gadgets, I'd say.
Are there many of them?
Oh, it's absolutely teeming with little things hidden in the walls.
Oh, please. That reminds me of a billet I once had in the ref. We were up all night looking for them.
All right, Adrian, we know you suffered for your country. Now let's get back to work. Now, this caravan has got all mod cons, folding window boxes, and a removable television aerial.
Well, wouldn't it be quicker to switch off the set?
No, Mavis. Now, be a good girl. Just take notes.
But what's it for, then?
Well, going under bridges at high speed, Mavis. Otherwise, you'll get a bent antenna.
Oh, mercy. That'd play havoc with your definition, I shouldn't wonder. Mind you, I wouldn't want to be watching the telly and belting along the road at the same time. It's not natural.
Not particularly safe, either.
One minute you'll be watching Emergency Ward 10, and the next minute you'll be in it.
Yeah, but what angle are we going to take on the whole of this thing?
Morning. So sorry to be late. I was down at the cottage, you see.
Yes, we can see by that bale of hay you're carrying.
Michael, you old Tarly, they're herbs, fresh from the country. This bunch is thyme.
Looks as though it's going fast.
It's jolly good, considering I picked it on Saturday.
Then it should be thyme and a half.
What's this other lot, Miss Tufnell? Stinging nettles?
Oh, all different kinds of herbs. Mint, rue, saxifrage.
You sound like Ophelia.
Fennel and borage, marvellous for salads.
Porridge? Fancy having a porridge salad?
No, borage. Oh, and I've brought you all back some apples.
Oh, how very kind. Oh, they look like little green marbles. Maggie, are you quite sure they're not peas?
They're special Cox's orange. They have a very distinctive flavour.
I'm sure this one will have. It's got an animal in it.
Oh, well, I'm sure it's all right.
Oh, yes, it's as fit as a fiddle. It just put out a hand and waved to me.
I expect it's got squatter's rights. Probably been living there for years.
Oh, the dear little soul, stuck in there with only a couple of pips for company.
I wish you could have seen the garden this morning. Everything's on the move.
So's this apple.
No, really, it all looked delightful. And do you know what? I think I'm going to have a broad bean.
Oh, Miss Tufnell, I'm so happy for you.
Michael, I'm sorry to interrupt. Oh, I see Mother Nature's arrived.
Janet, isn't it thrilling? Miss Tufnell was going to have a broad bean.
Oh, Maggie, darling, how marvellous. I always knew you had green fingers. Broad green fingers.
Well, you must all come down sometime and help me pick it. You'd love it. It's so quiet and peaceful. There isn't a soul within miles.
What on earth do you do in the evenings? Keep rushing out and looking at the broad bean, I suppose. Mm-hmm.
Well, I enjoy it. It's like being back in medieval England.
And do you find the old place has changed much?
Janet, I did not come over with William the Conqueror, you know.
Darling, I know. You were here already.
Now, if you girls have quite finished, I've got a brilliant idea.
About the caravan project?
No, about next weekend. Maggie, why don't you invite us down? I mean, if you stay in London, what can you do?
You spend the whole weekend telling people with banners how to get to Trafalgar Square.
All right, then, next weekend. Can you make it?
Oh,
good. When I was there yesterday, I thought how nice it would be if you were all with me.
Oh, you missed me.
Yes, there's a fireplace I want knocked down, and I can't possibly do it on my own.
Oh, well, I shall go just then.
The trouble is, where am I going to sleep you all? There's only one bedroom that's decent.
Well, we could always put some camp beds in the spare room, or we could sleep on the floor.
No, hardly. The spare room hasn't got a floor at the moment. Hasn't got much of a ceiling left, either. But it's got a beautiful view. You can see for miles.
Through what used to be the walls, I suppose.
Oh, Michael, I forgot to tell you. Mr. Osgood rang up about that caravan job. He wants to know when to expect a rough layout of the brochures.
Caravans, that's it?
That's what?
Well, for this brochure, we'll need pictures of happy, laughing people having a rare old time in a caravan. Well, instead of engaging models, why not take pictures of ourselves in some picturesque locale?
You mean like somewhere near my cottage next weekend?
Yes. We'll park the caravan in the garden. You and the girls can sleep in there. Adrian and I can sleep in the cottage. What more do we need?
Some barbed wire around the back door, just in case someone decides to go on the prowl.
Well, if I do, it'll only be to have a quick look at your broad bean by moonlight.
Yes, well, there's only one snag to this arrangement, Michael.
The barbed wire?
No, we'll have to borrow a caravan from the client. Do you think he'll play ball?
We'll soon find out. I'll ring up and ask him. Hello, switchboard?
Yes?
Michael Lightfoot here. Could you get me Queen of the Road Caravans, please? I want to speak to Mr. Osgood.
Right you are, love. old animal.
Oh, Miss Tufnell, thanks ever so for the invite. I'm really looking forward to next weekend.
I'm sure you'll enjoy it.
Yes, it'll be smashing being woken up by birdsong instead of Gran having a gargle in the bathroom.
Well, there's just one thing I'd like to get clear, Maggie. Will I be allowed to smoke my pipe at breakfast?
Only if you have it in the potting shed. I've got a thatched roof.
I've chased Mr. Hosgood, love. He's on the other end.
Hello? Claude Osgood here.
Hello, Mr. Osgood. Michael Lightfoot here. It's about this brochure we're going to do for your caravans.
Oh, yes, about the brochure. We was thinking in terms of a nice glass of art paper with tasteful photographs of happy caravanners. That's what we was thinking in terms of.
And that's what I was thinking in terms of, too. In fact, I was even thinking in terms of asking if we could borrow a caravan for the purpose.
Ah, yes, well. Well, I suppose one good term deserves another.
Yes, for want of a better word, yes. So what about this weekend? We could go out to the country and take photographs.
Mm, yes. Well, I reckon that'd be all right. Would you like us to deliver the caravan?
Oh, yes, please. That's most kind of you. I mean, you know our place, don't you? Just off Berkeley Square. Our Mr. Beals will be waiting with his car.
Right. I'll send it round Friday afternoon. And you'd better be waiting outside with that full of sixpences. It takes up 5 parking metres.
Yes, step right up, Mavis. Where are the others?
Oh, they won't be, you know. They're just putting their personal defects together. Oh, I say, isn't this smashing?
Yeah, well, I'll shut the door and show you round.
Oh, all this chrome and stainless. It's like our laundrette. Not a bit like the one my gran sings about.
Why should your gran sing about the laundrette?
No, you know that song that goes, "Where my caravan is rusted, there rust I."
Thank you, Mavis. Well, sit down and make yourself at home.
Ta. Oh, mercy, the seat has started up on me.
Ah, that's all right, Mavis. Underneath the seat is a built-in fridge.
Whatever for?
Well, to keep things cool.
Well, it does that all right. It's not proper if you ask me.
I mean, fancy going to your doctor and saying you'd been frostbitten on the M1.
Mavis. In a caravan, everything has to be dual purpose to save space. Now, I bet you've no idea what's in that cupboard.
A mangle?
Nope. Look, we just open the door, turn this lever, and there we are.
Oh, what a smashing ironing board.
Ironing board? It's a double bed.
But it can't be. It's not big enough.
Well, you have to improvise. You put your feet in the oven, you're back in the dining area, open the larder door, shove your head in, and off you go.
Come on, Maggie, we're all ready to go. Oh, where's Janet?
She spent half an hour changing into jeans and now she's changing back into a skirt.
Yoo-hoo! Would somebody give me a hand with my luggage? The lift man dumped it all on the pavement.
Good Lord, all that for a weekend in the country?
Well, we might be asked to a hunt ball.
Look, the hat boxes I can understand, but a cabin trunk?
Darling, I always take a cabin trunk. When a girl's away for the weekend, she needs things.
What have you got in it, a couple of sailors?
Well, you never know your luck.
Look, I hate to be a bore, but I think it's about time we were hitting the road.
Before you hit anything, find a safe place for this camera. It's very valuable.
Oh, well, look, put it in one of those canvas buckets under the sink.
Right. Oh, wait a minute, how are we going to travel?
Well, why don't we all stay together in the caravan? It'll be cozier.
Because, Mavis, someone has got to drive the car.
Oh, are we taking the car as well?
Yes, Mavis, you see, when you travel by caravan, the car is in front and the caravan behind. And someone has to drive the car in order to pull the caravan along.
Well, it's all right, Miss Tufnell. There's no need to be pedantic.
Eh?
Well, it's a new word I learnt from the back of my woman's book. I'm learning one every week, so by the end of the year, I'll know 49 words.
Oh, look, Maggie, it's quite simple. It's Adrian's car, so he can drive and I'll sit beside him.
Darling, what about me?
You can sit between us.
No fear. I know that gear-changing routine.
No, don't worry. My car's got the gear lever on the steering wheel. I haven't had the other sort since I got married. Now, it's 6 o'clock. Let's go.
Oh, mercy. Oh, I wish Mr. Beals wouldn't drive so fast. Whoops! Oh, Miss Tufnell, can you give me a hand?
Sorry, Mavis, I'm holding the kettle on the gas ring with one hand and the gas ring on the shelf with the other.
Well, if you find a spare one, let me know. Whoops! Honestly, this is the last time I cut sandwiches in a caravan. Oh, it's murder scraping off this butter.
You're supposed to be spreading it on.
Well, I can't till I scrape it off the chair. Oh, I should have looked before I sat down. Still, we haven't got eyes all over. Oh, mercy, now we're around another roundabout.
I wish Adrian would go round them instead of over them.
Here, has anybody seen a sardine?
Mavis, the milk!
I'll catch it. Whoops! Well, if you call me Butterfingers, you're right. Oh, Miss Tufnell, we'll never get any more milk tonight.
Mavis, we're in the country, not a wilderness. There's plenty of places to get milk.
But won't it all be inside cows?
No, slot machines. I think there's one outside the dairy in the next village. The thing is, we must get Adrian to stop.
Well, I'll open the window and give him a shout. Mm. Yoo-hoo! Mr. Beals! Mr. Beals!
Michael, there seems to be an odd noise coming from the engine.
If you ask me, it's coming from the caravan. Oh, look, Mavis has got her head out of the window. She's shouting like a mad thing.
Perhaps she's trying to overtake.
Oh, Michael, lean out. Michael, you lean out of your window and see what she wants.
Right out.
Yes, what is it?
Stop at the next dairy with the machine. We want to get some milk out of the slot.
What? All right, Mavis.
What's she on about?
Something about a kilt. She said she's just seen a hairy Scot.
Mavis, have you got another sixpence?
Well, we've got three lots of milk. That should be enough.
Well, let's get one more just in case. There we are. I must say, it's jolly handy being able to buy milk like this. Modern packaging's a marvellous thing.
Yes, but it must be very tricky training the cows to sit on these cartons.
Oh, well, where there's a will, there's a way. Well, we'd better hurry before Adrian has to move the caravan. Mavis, the caravan's gone.
No, it hasn't. Look, there it is.
Yes, belting down the road at 50 miles an hour. Mavis, are you sure they understood your message?
Well, they must have done, Miss Tufnell. After all, they did stop.
They pretty soon went on again. I think they only stopped because the traffic lights were red. Even Mr. Beals does that occasionally.
Oh, dear, what's going to happen to us? I feel such a fool standing here in my tennis shorts and bare feet.
There's nothing to worry about. They're bound to notice we're missing and come back in a couple of minutes.
Steady on, Adrian. You're doing 60.
Well, I can't hold the car back, old boy. You know, Michael, it's rather odd, but ever since we stopped at that last set of traffic lights, the caravan seems much lighter. Not so much weight to drag along.
Well, perhaps Maggie and Mavis are sitting down.
They'll come back.
Yes, of course they will.
Oh, but it's been 3 hours now and I feel such a fool pacing up and down with empty milk cartons on my feet.
I wish we'd never bothered to get that wretched milk.
Well, I think it's a good thing we did. I mean, if we hadn't have got out the caravan to get it, then when we were stranded here, there would not have been anything to drink because we wouldn't have had it if we'd still been in it, would we?
Mavis, the only reply to that is a very loose yes.
Miss Tufnell, what shall we do? We can't stay here all night.
Well, there's only one thing for it. Let's go to the police station and report ourselves missing.
Oh, good. And let's hope they find us.
Maggie! Mavis! Come out, we're here. Come on, Maggie.
Good gracious.
Michael, Adrian, there's nobody in the caravan.
Good Lord, it's empty.
What could have happened to them? They're not here.
They must be. I'm sure we had them when we left.
Well, perhaps they're on the bunks.
No. Oh, wait a minute. There's Maggie curled up in the corner. Wake up, Maggie.
Janet, that's a sleeping bag.
Sorry, I thought you slipped off her girdle.
Well, they've gone all right. I suppose we ought to do something.
Like what?
Well, knock back a few pints of beer, see if they turn up. If not, we'll report them stolen.
Abandoned, you say?
Yes, Sergeant. They drove off and left us by the milk machine without so much as a buy or leave or a friendly toot.
And the party consisted of two men and three of you girls?
Yes, Sergeant, that's right.
Well, I can understand them wanting to get rid of one girl, but two? Just slap happy.
Perhaps they couldn't count. Anyway, Sergeant, our problem is how to get out to my cottage. It's pretty late.
Oh, I think we can arrange that for you, miss. I'll advance you some money and you can hire a car. There's a local man who... Roxbridge Police Station.
My name is Michael Lightfoot. I know this seems ridiculous, but I seem to have lost a couple of women. You see, they were in a caravan and...
I know, sir, I know. We got them here.
Oh, thank goodness. Are they all right?
All right. They're a couple of crackers. You can speak to them if you like. Miss, one of your friends on the phone.
Oh, thank you. Hello?
Oh, Maggie, what happened? We phoned every police station in the county.
Never mind what happened. Why didn't you notice we'd gone?
But, Maggie, we did. Where's Maggie and Mavis, we said. Then we had supper, a couple of pints of beer, and phoned the police immediately.
Charming!
Oh, I'm sorry, Maggie. Look, we'll come right over and fetch you.
There's no need. We've arranged for a car. I don't want to be abandoned twice in one night.
Oh, I'm sorry, Maggie. Really, I am. Now, is there anything we can do?
Yes, don't laze around my cottage. Start work and get that fireplace out.
Yes, ma'am. Bye.
Are they going to rip out the fireplace, Miss Tacknell?
Yes, I only hope they look first to see whether there's a fire.
Well, if not, I expect they'll light one.
Michael, do we really have to do this job tonight?
Well, I suppose so. Maggie insisted.
Well, I've taken out many odd things on a Friday night, but never a fireplace. I remember once in the RAF...
I was with you in the RAF, and this fireplace is the hottest thing you've ever taken out.
But it's a bit late, and there's the people in the next cottage to consider.
Well, there's only one person there. Maggie says he's a peppery old major who suffers violently from indigestion.
Yeah, just the same, what about the noise?
Oh, I don't think we'll hear it, not with all the banging going on. Look, we've got to do it sooner or later, so let's get started.
Darling, I just finished lighting this oil lamp, and then I'll lend you both a hand.
Oh, I do, but we should probably need a pickaxe as well. I wonder if Maggie's got one.
I'll try her bedroom. There may be one in her makeup box.
Hardly, old girl. I'll take the lamp, and there's probably one outside. I'm sure you two don't mind being alone in the dark.
We'll be terribly brave about it.
Darling, it is spooky in here.
Look, if you're nervous, take my hand.
Oh, I'd feel so much safer if I knew where it was. Michael, you're more frightened than I am. Those goose pimples.
Darling, you're clutching the cactus plant.
Well, it's all right. I found a crowbar. I think it'll do.
Right, well, to work. Janet, you hold the lamp, and Adrian and I will lever out the fireplace.
Do you think we ought to remove the ornaments from the mantelpiece first, or should we not bother?
Oh, Adrian, hold the lamp a minute. I'll put them on the table.
Right.
Adrian, if we shove the crowbar in this gap at the side... Janet, the table is at the other end of the room.
Oh, so it is. Adrian, be a dear and bring over the lamp.
Right.
Thanks.
Adrian, come and give me a hand with this crowbar.
Right. Janet, bring the lamp back over here.
Oh, really, it is marvellous. I feel like Florence Nightingale having a quick whip round.
Now, come on, Adrian. Let's both heave together. Ready? Heave!
Heave!
Keep pushing. Keep pushing. You're moving something, if it's only the wall.
We've done it.
Oh, how marvellous. I had no idea you were both so strong.
There's nothing to it. Just a matter of knowing where to put your crowbar, and the rest is... child's play. Where did all those bricks come from?
Well, honestly, that chimney couldn't have been swept for years.
Janet, before we started, did you take up the hearth rug?
What hearth rug?
Oh, well, it's too late now.
Michael, Adrian, what on earth are you doing?
Oh, hello, Maggie. Well, we've taken out the fireplace.
Oh, Major Ferguson will be furious.
What's it got to do with him?
It's his cottage. Mine's next door. How could you make such a mistake? I'd expect it of Mavis, not of you.
Oh, Miss Tufnell, you're only saying that.
But, Maggie, we peeped
next door, and we didn't dream it could be your cottage. We saw a scruffy man's jacket and gumboots.
Do you mind? That's my gardening outfit.
Now, for heaven's sake, the Major will be down here first thing tomorrow. What'll we do?
Well, just tell him it's a practical joke. He'll laugh like a drain.
You don't know our Major. He lost his sense of humour in the Boer War.
Well, look, why not tell him there was an avalanche? I was reading about them recently on the back of my woman's magazine. They're caused, you see, by people yodeling when they're not properly equipped for it. The reverberations, you see, get mixed up with the melting snow, you see, causing it to rush up the mountains, uprooting trees and shallots and things.
Mavis! Now, listen, it seems to me that under the circumstances, there's only one thing that a true blue Englishman can do.
What's that?
We all pile in the caravan and beat it back to London.
Very heroic, but no. Somehow or other, you've got to put that fireplace back.
Oh, all right. But not tonight.
It has to be tonight. The Major arrives in the morning. Besides, you've got to take those photos for the brochure tomorrow. I want you to look like happy caravanners, not worn-out fireplace removers.
But we need some mortar to put those bricks back, and we haven't got any.
You'll just have to make do with a little ingenuity.
Well, shall I get a bucket to mix it in?
I say, I saw some cement out in the Major's shed. We can use that. After all, it's his fireplace. Come on, Michael.
Mavis, find a brush and start sweeping up. I'll pop next door and get another lantern.
Oh, do, Maggie. I'm sick of standing here like the Statue of Liberty.
Under that layer of brick dust, you look more like the last of the Mohicans.
How are you getting on inside the chimney, Adrian?
I nearly finished, Bob.
Mr. Lightfoot, why is it always Mr. Beals who has to be inside the chimney? Is he fond of flues?
No, but he likes to smoke his pipe while he's working.
I say, could someone slap a bit of cement in that gap behind me? I can't turn round.
Neither can I. Mavis, can you do it? There's still some cement in that canvas bucket.
Rightio, then. One teaspoonful or two, Mr. Beals.
Oh, put the whole bucket in.
Okie doke.
Maggie, I've beaten this hearth rug nearly senseless. How does it look?
Utterly defeated. Was it always that terracotta colour? Oh, well, at least it matches the rest of the room.
Don't we all, darling?
Oh, honestly, you come for a quiet weekend in the country and you end up as a bricklayer's mate. If I'd have known we was having a Masonic evening, I'd have brought me bucket and spade.
Well, there she is, Michael, in all her glory. A fireplace any father could be proud of.
Yes, look at the way the sunlight gleams on her clinker basket. There's poetry, if you like.
Oh, it's fabulous. Of course, it makes such a difference when you've known every brick personally.
Morning, all. Miss Tufnell says, will you go to the caravan and start posing for those photos? And will you hurry up, because she'll be right down when she's put on her filter.
Oh, I'm glad Maggie's wearing a filter. It'll take years off her.
I say, has anyone seen my camera?
Maggie, just look at our fireplace. Isn't it a masterpiece?
Delightful. I'd rather you all look for my camera. I know I had it when we left town. I put it in one of those canvas buckets in the caravan.
Did you say one of those canvas buckets? One of those canvas buckets in the caravan?
That's precisely what I said.
Oh, mercy.
Mavis, what have you done with Maggie's canvas bucket?
Well, you see, there was this empty gap, you see, like a hole with nothing in it, and Mr. Beale said to fill it with a bucket. And I was just going to have a stir with me teaspoon when you said put the whole bucket in, so I did. It's bricked up in the fireplace.
It what? Was?
Through no fault of your own, you've just heard Something to Shout About. Michael Lightfoot was played by Michael Medwin, Maggie by Eleanor Summerfield, Janet by Fenella Fielding, Mavis by Joan Sims, and Adrian by Nicholas Phipps. Mr. Osgood and several other unlikely characters were played by Warren Mitchell. This script was baked in a moderate brick oven by Miles Rudge and Ronnie Wolfe, and the damp course was laid by our producer Eric Miller. The sound effects were supplied by the cast, who for the last half hour have been banging their heads against a brick wall.